Live from inside a 350-degree oven for 12 minutes per pound and brought to you by Ocean Spray. Grower-owned since 1930. Ocean Spray. Straight from the bog. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk. Here we are, episode 11th on November 20th, 2010, Ellie, and we still are not playing our own theme music. Why is this?
I was busy watching a pot.
Did it boil?
It never did.
Since your pot has not boiled, what else have you been up to?
Been doing some raiding. We actually got a first-time kill a couple weeks ago. We killed Paracelsus. I guess we found the magic button.
Did you like that encounter?
It's okay. There are, you know, some moving parts. It's not as bad as some. But it's definitely exciting when you finally get him down.
And did you get lots of fat loots?
I don't remember, honestly, what he dropped. But we found our magic button. And the magic button is throw more mages at it.
Throw more mages. DPS. More dots, more dots.
When in doubt, more mages.
Yes, I've been doing the same thing, lots of raiding, although a little bit, as I've said in the past, labs, port, talks. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but same old for us in terms of our raiding scheme right now. I have been working on more Slayer achievement titles. I finished off Cyclops. I think that's where we left off last time. And I have, since then, also completed Droag and Vampire Destroyer titles. So those are at 10,000. Very glad to get those done with. I don't know why, but I was real close. I was only like 100 or two off from finishing each. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to wait till we run Loping Plains one more time to get those last 100. So I just banged them out in Darklight Woods. And it took like an hour if it took me that long. I think it took me longer to wait for repops than it actually did to kill the level 6 mobs.
Well, that you should be proud of yourself.
I am somewhat proud of myself and my Uber Templar DPS.
I've also been did a little work on the Mighty Mug.
Ugh, that's turning into a dirty four-letter word around here.
I'm sorry.
I know, I should be cracking.
I found a little outline of, you know, sort of a life-size outline that you can print out. And so I started doing a little sketching. So I have a little sketch of Delmon.
Do I look sexy?
You don't have any clothes right now.
Oh, yeah. Just like real life. My mug and Del are the same. Oh, yeah.
And I actually started working on the mug itself. I had some priming issues, so we'll have to restart that. But let's do your mug. Your Del mug will be maybe a little battle scarred like the real Del.
Is there a dent in the side of my head?
There's a dent in your leg.
Oh, no.
I think that someone dropped him off the dining room table when I wasn't looking or something. There's a little dent in there. Very small. We have some interesting priming going on, so hopefully I can get that worked out.
Do we have to call all the king's horses?
I hope it's not that bad. Although I did find a video on YouTube of how to take apart your mug if you want to see what's inside.
So you're using that to figure out how to glue Delmon back together?
Well, so far I don't need to glue him back together. He's still in one piece.
The ultimate answer will be, how much duct tape is there on me?
Oh boy. Well, let's hope I can hide it if I can get the primer to stick.
Excellent.
So, but other than that, you know, since EQ2 Talk joined Facebook, I have an issue.
What is that now?
I have a Farmville and Frontierville addiction.
You cannot see it, but I am shaking my head right now.
I can't stop myself. I think I need rehab.
I told you, do not click on Farmville. Don't do it.
I know.
And you've been begging me to be your friend. Our neighbor in Farmville, and I've refused.
You won't be an enabler.
No, I won't. I have broken my addiction. I'm not going back. I will not do that again. I got over that hurdle, and I'm not going to allow you to cause me to backslide. You will not be my backslide, Allie.
I can't knock you off the wagon.
Nope. I'm hanging firm.
We have a few listeners who've became neighbors.
Now, if you had sent me a taco invite, I'd be all over that. But
I started looking at that when I was waiting for my energy to come back up in Frontierville, and I just can't get into it.
Wait, so there's not only Farmville, there's also Frontierville for you as well?
Yes. Yes.
All right, we have to draw the line there. If I find out you're in Petville too, there's going to be something to pay. I don't know what yet, but you'll have to pay something.
Oh, let's hope I can get over it.
One other thing I have been doing actually in-game is I've been doing a lot of the Fallen Dynasty Monk Pebble instances.
Yeah, we did a couple runs through there.
Yeah, and I have to say, Allie, my doing it solo, which is boring, of course, because it's somewhat solo, but it's pebbles and I got to earn them somehow. And with you doing it in the heroic instance, it's like night and day. I mean, these terracotta warriors, they see Allie running into the room and they just like despawn on their own. Your DPS is amazing in there.
No, it's really not that big a deal. They're single arrow or no arrow. You're just not a DPS class.
I'm impressed by you, Allie. You should. I'm trying to give you praise here.
You need to play a DPS class.
Okay. You.
There's really not much to it.
You killed 200 of them in under 30 minutes.
It's not hard to do.
I know. I'm impressed. That's all I can say. I am impressed, and I've been racking up the pebbles, and I know you got some too. And we've started buying some titles, which is great. That's really the only reason to run these, right? Is for the titles. They don't really provide much more. There's nothing. There's no drops in there. I don't think we've seen anything but pebbles drop in there, and I think that's how it's designed. So we're getting. I think I've got a few suffix titles, and when we can rack up enough pebbles, I think we need 2,000 total. We can get all the titles complete.
Yeah, I think I have about half done.
But can I rant for like 1 minute about it though, a little bit?
Sure, that's what we're here for, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm frustrated by one thing about these monk pebble instances is that half of them are broken because in half of the zones, your mission is to kill the terracotta warriors, and they drop pebbles that you then put into a vat, I guess, at the center of the zone. Unfortunately, in half the zones, those pebbles don't drop off the warrior. So right now, half of that content is kind of broken, and it's kind of frustrating because this is good replay content. It keeps me coming back, keeps me playing, and it's broken, and I'm having to do it the longer, harder, slower way by just doing being able to do half the zones for completion. And so that has been frustrating. I would wish the team would take a look at that and get these fixed. And what frustrates me even further about it is that players have been commenting about this since mid-August. And
wow.
A member of the team actually went on to one of the threads and said they'd take a look at it back at the end of August, and it's still broken. And it's frustrating, too, because I don't know if they've fixed it. So every patch or every game update, I'm forced to kind of go run at it again going, well, did it not make the patch notes and it is fixed? I just wish they would tell me that it's fixed. And secondly, take the time to fix it. Because I think, again, this is good replay content. It keeps players coming back, gives them something to do while we're waiting for that next expansion in February. So it's a shame that some of this replayable content has stayed broken.
Well, it's strange that it broke mid-August. There was an update around then, wasn't there?
Yeah, now I got to be honest, I'm not exactly sure when it broke, but that's when the threads about it being broken popped up, and there's been several of them since then.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of players have gone through it. We've diagnosed what the problem exactly is. Now, we don't know what the root cause of the problem is, but we know what exactly is happening in these instances, and we can even give the names of the instances. That happens to be one of them is the Trial of Bo Fenn. It just doesn't drop, and that's frustrating. I just wish they'd get this fixed because it's a little old-school content. I understand that in terms of the timeline of EQ2, but I'd like to see it get resolved so players can use that sort of content. It is good replay and keeps us coming back.
Now, they're not pebbles that you put in the thing, aren't they shards? The pebbles are the little white things. that you keep for titles, right?
Yeah, those are the rewards. Yeah, tokens or something, shards or
okay.
slivers
Where
or something.
you get these things, you save up a bunch, and then you put them in the little pot.
Yeah,
It's like
you have 30 minutes to fill the cauldron. That's a perfect term for a cauldron. You have 30 minutes to fill the cauldron with 50 or 60 of these or whatever the zone requires. The ones that are in the jars, they do. You can get them from jars. You just can't get them from terracotta warriors. So
that's
the
weird.
Zone is incompletable.
Are they supposed to be? Is it because they're gray? It's a corpse drop?
It is a corpse drop. The mobs are not gray. They are. Fortunately, the island of Mara does expand up to level 90 for these zones. So when I go in there, there are blues and whites mobs in there. So they should be dropping. They're just not. I don't know if there's a under the covers load code setting where it says must be 80 or something. You know, target of killer must be 80 or something like that. I don't know what. But for level 90 characters going in there, they're not dropping.
Interesting. Have you tried mentoring it?
You know, I haven't tried that. That's a good suggestion. I can certainly give that a try. I got a funny feeling, much like the TSOs with the shinies, when I go in there, it's going to auto-set me or something.
Oh.
Because I could kind of go in mentor to, say, 80, right? Go in de-mentor, now I'm 90.
And yeah, but then they'll be gray, and then they won't drop.
That's a good point. I just think they've got some type of anti-TLC code in there to prevent you from getting it. Mm-hmm. But it appears to be that code's in place when you're 90 as well.
Interesting.
So I hope they get that fixed soon, because I would like to finish these and earn all these titles. And as I said, it takes 2,000 monk pebbles to get all the titles. And that's quite a bit when you can only do the zone that gives you 5 at a whack.
And once every 3 days.
And once every 3 days, too. They have a long lockout timer. I would say it would be nice to maybe if they reduce that to 24 hours. I don't see these instances making or breaking gameplay. They're just titles. So if I want to keep replaying them faster and doing them over and over again, I'm just earning the title. I'm not getting the Uber sword or shield or breastplate or something like that. It's just a title, so why not reduce at this point in the gameplay? Why not reduce that timer to, say, 24 hours? Why the 3-hour lockout still?
Yeah, 3-day.
So that's my rant, just a little one. I hope they can get that fixed soon.
I do too, especially now that you know your way around those zones.
I have become a master. What's that poster with the stairs that look like they're going up and down at the same time?
That's Escher.
Okay.
Escher.
That zone is like that. There should be stairs that are going up and down in all which ways. And I've really mastered the ultimate path of getting through there. Last time we went, you and I did all the running. You just followed and shot everything on the run.
Yes. It's good to put you in the front and me in the back, because I don't know where the hell I'm going most of the time.
As long as you shoot over my head, I'm okay with that.
So that's about all we've been up to lately. That's quite a lot, actually.
Staying busy.
Well, we didn't been noobing a little bit. Yeah, we wanted to do a little quick noob report, just real quick. The last time we noobed, well, 2 times ago, we ran into a quest in Butcher Block that needed us to harvest some wood. And Allie was not able to harvest in Butcher Block. Were you able to? I don't remember.
No, I was not either.
So we were basically mulling over what to do. Should we go back and work on our harvesting? Should we get them all up? And Allie convinced Del to get the harvester cloak started, because it seemed like a sensible thing to do. So we're now pretty much not playing noobs anymore, but I think we already know that we can't do that, but we're doing the best we can. So we spent a whole night harvesting one time.
Yeah, I think the argument could be made that knowing about the harvester cloak out there, again, in the island of Mara, ironically enough, just talking about that, is not really noob knowledge.
Right.
We can't unring that bell, as somebody had said in a previous email that they wrote us, so we took advantage of a little bit of double dipping.
Yeah.
And I have to say, we had to get to, what, level 90 harvesting skills so that we could harvest in Butcher Block?
Yes.
And that took us, I would say, the better part, if not a full night, to accomplish.
Yeah, and actually, when you logged out, I stayed around and finished up, because we hadn't finished up, and it was getting really late.
What do you think about quests like that, Allie, where we have to harvest in order to complete them?
You know, I go back and forth. I'm not sure which side of the fence I fall on. It depends on the moment, I guess. There are times it doesn't bother me because I feel like, you know, it's just encouraging me to keep all of my skills up. You know, it's basically, it's gating me from something based on, you know, something that I should really have developed by this point. And then other times I sort of feel like, well, I'm adventuring. I don't really want to be dealing with harvesting right now. So why is this putting this roadblock in my way? So I don't know. There are so many quests out there to do. There's always ways to get around those. I don't know. I guess for the most part, I feel okay with it because it's really not rocket science. You just go harvest and you get your skills up.
Yeah, I think I feel the same way. It's kind of one of those things. I don't mind it until I hit that roadblock and I'm like, frazzle, frazzle, razzle, rah. I gotta go back and do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm ready, I'm all gung ho to do the quest, but now I'm blocked or mitigated by this need to level harvesting. Is it earth shattering or Norrath shattering that I gotta do it? Certainly not. It just stinks when I don't have the skill and I need to go back and get it, and I'm in the middle of doing other stuff.
Yeah, and when I play alts, I generally like to keep those skills up because I know there are points that I'm going to need harvesting. So when I'm starting a new character, I'll sort of try, when there used to be the islands, I would try to max my harvesting skills on the island before leaving because the nodes are easier to find and closer together and faster to respawn.
Yeah, I've done the same exact thing, you know, again, that un not unringing that bell knowledge that we've learned having played the game along the ways. As I'm leveling that alt, I'm certainly trying to keep those harvesting skills in the same tier of the tier that I'm adventuring in, so that when I move forward, I don't get stuck and have to go back.
Right.
So it's easy if you see the rock or the log laying there while you're running by, well, might as well spend a few seconds now, grab it, and kill, you know, whatever's next down the road, as opposed to having to come back a zone or two later. It could be worse if you have to come down two or three tiers or something and go through it all again in a couple of nights or something to get yourself back up to speed.
Maybe that's an old school holdover too from when it took a lot longer to get from point A to point B. You know, if you get all the way to somewhere, you don't want to have to go all the way back just
Yeah,
to harvest.
exactly. Look at us, you know. Even though we were doing the noob experience, we blew through Frostfang Sea, and that's 25 some odd levels of content for us in, what do we say, like 9 hours or something, 10 hours.
Right.
We completely motored through that. Didn't do any harvesting at that time either. And we weren't even moving all that fast. A person who's really motoring could probably even do it in, you know, a third of that time if they wanted.
Yeah. So anyway, that's our quick noob report.
So next up is our errata section. We actually haven't had any in a few episodes, but then all of a sudden this time we have a whole plethora of them.
A ton. I'll start
Okay.
since I did an obvious one. In episode 10, I misspoke. I said that EQ2's 6 year anniversary was November 4th, but that's incorrect. It's actually November 8th, and I regret the error.
Okay.
Actually,
Only a few days, though.
yeah, well, actually, it's because my anniversary at work is November 4th, so I got a little confused.
Which one is more fun, the EQ2 anniversary or the work anniversary?
Well, obviously the EQ2
Right.
anniversary.
Apparently, I also misspoke in episode 10. When we were talking about Facebook, I was advocating that we should have goldfish listeners because I said goldfish can't remember anything past 6 seconds. So those are the best type of podcast listeners because they keep downloading your podcast over and over again every 6 seconds. Well, I have been corrected. Apparently, that is a old wives' tale and not exactly true. Goldfish do have memory. A few websites that I found seem to suggest that the reason that that legend exists, it's to justify why it's okay to keep fish in small bowls because they can swim around and in 6 seconds they forget that they're still in the same bowl. So I apologize to all our gill-breathing listeners out there who remember that I actually said this, because apparently your memory is longer than 6 seconds.
But do they have ears?
I don't know.
You're afraid to say anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to insult. Well, if they don't have ears, they can't hear me. I don't know.
Nemo has just unfriended us.
Actually, you know what? And it's funny. One of the websites I was researching this on said that the stereotype is further advanced by Dory's character from Finding Nemo. Cool. Because she doesn't remember anything in that movie either.
Okay.
I also had another misstep. I had said that I am done with all my Slayer titles, and that is not true. I inadvertently forgot about Satyrs. Because
How could you?
I know. I've done so few of them. They were sorted all the way to the top because they're only like accomplished killing at 150. So I have not finished all of them, and I still have those to do. And I've been researching on which ones to kill, and I'm very confused because there's not a whole heck of a lot of Satyrs out there.
Well, Shard of Love.
There's a few in Shard of Love, but Allie, do you want to be running Shard of Love for the next umpteenth millionth time?
No.
There's a few actually in, I found them in the hero, one of the Heroes Festival quest lines this morning that I was doing as well. There's a few of them in there. There's like two or three.
The Brownie Grotto.
Yes, and there's a couple in one of the instances out in Everfrost. But there's a whole metric ton of them out in Faedwar where they're from. But I'm not sure which ones are the good ones and which ones are the evil. There's the Mintar and the Fugitar tribes. I'm not sure which one I'm supposed to kill. The ones in New Teneria or the ones in Lesser Faedark.
What do you mean, which ones you're supposed to kill?
Well, you know, my roleplay light mentality.
You don't know which ones are good and which are evil?
Yeah, kind of. I'm assuming the ones in Lesser Faedark are good, and I put good in air quotes because they're guarding the Tunair's entrance there in Emerald Halls, and that the ones in New Teneria, well, New Teneria is overrun with vampires. Mm-hmm. But that used to be the High Elf City. Those are kind of good people. Maybe they got cut off. Maybe they're trapped out there. Maybe the vampires are in their way. I don't know. So I'm torn. I don't know who to kill. And Roleplay Light is killing me.
Well, then abandon it.
That's why I have been mass slaughtering kobolds again.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. What do you have?
Well, I did want to add, it's not really an errata, but it seems like a good place to put it. The last episode, one of our listeners wrote in requesting some information on some resources for lore, Hikitu lore. And I feel like we kind of gave him the short end of the stick a little bit with regard to, you know, some resources. So I wanted to throw out a couple of things. We did mention Lore Library. He mentioned, actually, lorelibrary.com. Also known as the Athenaeum, or the Athenaeum, depending on your pronunciation. And that site has text from all the books in the game, as well as dialogue, quest dialogue, quotes from things that developers have said on various topics at fanfares in the past. And you can search by, there's a little search function on there that will bring up all of the hits on whatever it is you're looking for. Although it doesn't seem like it's been updated recently, which maybe that's not a good sign, but it's still a great resource. So I think we can put that link in the show notes. It's lorelibrary.com. That's one. And then I also did, I found that on the EQ2i wiki site there has some good lore links in there. And as a matter of fact, there was one you were mentioning, Del, about the shipwrecks. There's a link in the wiki there about shipwrecks.
I actually did take a few minutes after the last episode and search for that. It is still out there, and I had a good time rereading it again.
On the wiki page, someone had put on there a lore channel in-game, a worldwide channel. I don't personally know this one. It's lucandelir.lore, so lucan_delir.lore. And I checked in game, and at that time, there were only three people, including myself, in the channel. So not sure if that's super active, but there is another one that I'm not sure where I got it from, but that I know for a fact is very active. It's befallen.lore. So if you want to do a /join befallen.lore in game, there are a lot of knowledgeable people in that channel. I'm just a lurker. But there's, you know, a lot of people in there. There were 54 online when I checked. It's usually pretty active. They seem to know their stuff. You know, they're pretty much dialed into what's going on in the game and on the forums. So that's a good resource as well. And that's pretty much all I had.
All right. A few more mistakes this past episode, but we'll hopefully get better.
Yeah. At least we make up for it by, you know, filling in the blanks later.
Now, we did get a few more emails over the past week or so between our last show and this one.
Yeah, I actually got a tell as well in game.
Okay.
That I wanted to share.
Alrighty.
If I could do that.
Certainly.
From a listener named Ruckus on the Unrest server. He says he loves the podcast. Actually, he says he effing loves it.
Ooh.
And he said, I love this. Here's his quote. Nerd talk. You're plucking at my proverbial heartstrings. So thank you, Ruckus, for the great compliment. Your plat's in the mail.
Can we give him an effing thank you?
An effing thank you? Why not?
Alrighty. Which goes along with the theme of our last show, the F word.
Yes. Okay, so we did have an email from Indabuff, our old friend. Hello again. Just listened to your podcast and have to say you hit on one of my biggest pet peeves about this game, entitlement. I've never really followed forums before this game, and at times wish I never started to. I started because I wanted to keep up with all that was going on, and for that reason, I will continue. Now for the issue. We pay $15 a month to access this game. We can have the game pretty much 24/7 and are pretty free to play the way we want to. There are not many other sources of entertainment that give you so much for so little. So why is it that those who subscribe have this sense that SOE owes them whatever it is that they are complaining about at the time? I suppose there will always be those that complain, but when you're having to siphon through tons of whining to try to get the info you need from a forum, it gets really old. So let me just say this. SOE owes you nothing outside of access to the game. If you don't like the game, then don't play it. No one is holding a gun to your head. I've recently been following the forum on the merger, and there's info that I would like to have, but as usual, the forum is overrun with people carrying on about losing their toon name and how SOE should have done it this way or that. There is no perfect solution, and SOE made a decision as to how it would be done. It's their call, after all, so let's move on. Then there are the people that are complaining that they don't get a title that those who are losing their server get. For example, I would get of Nektalos, the title is because you're losing the server you chose, a way of saying where you came from. This is getting about as childish as can be to say, well, he gets it, then I should get it. SOE is not out to ruin this game. That would be not in their best interests. They have the numbers, they know the real score, and the facts about where the game stands. They listen more than any other game I have seen to their members. But come on, they are the ones that are vested here. It's their livelihood, it's their investment, and ultimately their decision. Here's a little story about how far this attitude has gone. I was reading the forum where they were discussing the 7-year vet award, The Manor. Well, at that point, no one had any idea where the new portal led to, but the devs decided to have a little fun with it and were creating this whole floating casket thing. They put up some mock artwork and even went so far as to have different color schemes and decorating options. This went on and everyone was having a great time with it for the most part. I know I was getting a good laugh from it. Now, most would say this is great, way cool that the devs came out to play. Then come the you owe me types to complain that they are wasting time creating that stuff when they should be working on the stuff they think needs to be dealt with. How sad that even then these people can't just let it go and have a little fun. One last point. I agree, Allie. SOE really does need to stand by their decisions more. I think a lot of mess may have been avoided through the whole extended thing if they just came out and said what was what. And this is how it's going down. It's the half talking and trying to spin it that I think causes more issue in the long run. Okay, stepping down off my soapbox and going back to the game I love, warts and all, it's the best game out there. SOE owes me nothing. I most definitely get my money's worth for the game. That being said, and I know that Domino listens to the podcast, there's this really cool floral arbor in Lesser Fade Arc where the Fey Court is that would make a great item for our new outdoor areas you gave us. Nudge, nudge. You can't blame a house junkie for trying. Signed, Indabuff.
That's a great email.
Yeah, it is a great email.
I do have a comment about the whining or, oh, how did she say it? Oh, the entitlement, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
I'm a little challenged by that thought of entitlement versus, say, giving constructive criticism. Where does constructive criticism end and whining begin? And is it really all in the delivery of the message? Just take a few minutes ago, we were discussing that I hope that they fix this thing that's been broken in the Island of Mara for some time. Am I entitled to say that I hope they fix this or desire that they fix it? Or should I just, you know, live with it as is? So I think a lot of it is in the message. When you cross that line and it becomes whining. But I think if a message is delivered succinctly, clearly, and constructively, I don't think we can be entitled to have things as long as we ask for it in a respectful manner, perhaps.
I mean, I tend to agree, but I think what you're talking about, fixing something, I think we are definitely entitled to have something fixed that's broken.
Okay.
As far as asking for things that we don't already have, I think we can make the request. I think that there are mechanisms in the game and on the forums to allow us to make those requests, but it is certainly isn't their charge to fulfill every single request over at SOE. I think that that's just falls under the category of feedback. Like, for example, in life, like I wouldn't be able to go to the grocery store and put in a request for a 7-pound bag of flour. I don't like that there's only a five-pound bag of flour. I want a 7-pound bag of flour. Well, you know, they don't make them that way. At what point, in what other area of life do you get the sort of customization or that sort of connection to a company about a product that you purchase?
Well, I think in your analogy there, at your grocery store, perhaps up front there is a suggestion box, so you can fill out your 3x5 card that says, "Hi, I'd like you to sell 7-pound bags of flour."
Well, if they don't exist, I want you to make them.
Okay. Or it's like listening to sports radio when you talk about, "I think my team should make this trade," or you go on your favorite vendor's website and say, "Hey, I wish you would sell product XYZ in blue, red, and green, as opposed to just black." So I think giving feedback and suggestions is all good. I think the point that Indabuff's making is when it transitions to whining or incessantly whining. I was just going to say, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, "Hey, Najin is getting titles because their server is going away. Can Ion Unrest have a title too?" SOE says, "No, we're only going to give it to the servers that are going away." Okay, asked and answered, and I move on. But I don't think there's anything wrong with asking.
I think it's a little whatever. I suppose you can ask, but I think it's a dumb question.
Well,
sorry.
What if there's an achievement for having titles?
I think it's a dumb question because they're giving them a title because their server's going away. Unrest isn't going away, so kind of too bad.
Okay.
All right, that's my stance. I think it's a dumb question. Sorry to anyone who's asked that question, but I think it's a dumb question. And I think it's a waste of space on the forum, so cut it out.
Okay, I'll delete my post.
Did you ask for a title, Del?
Oh, I wanted a title. Because maybe there'll be an achievement for titles someday, and I won't have one.
Well, you didn't get screwed on your server, so be happy.
All right, fair enough. But I think so. But I think again, if you're asking and it's answered, and you move on,
yeah,
it's when people come back and ask twice, thrice, four times, and it goes on and on. And I think it's not hard. There's no harm in asking once. Right. There's no harm in saying we like armadillo pets.
Okay, now, getting personal.
All right. But if
I'm
they
allowed
came out
to
and
ask
said...
for a, I'm allowed to ask for armadillo pets if it's by feedback, which I do. They ignore it anyway, so it's harmless. I'm not posting 5,000 times on the forums that I want armadillo pets.
No, but I only posted once about asking for a title for Unrest.
Okay, fair enough.
So
were you the first person who asked it?
I don't know, because I don't read other people's posts.
Right.
I only
See,
read
that's
my own.
That's another problem. You should read the thread before you.
Well, I don't know if that's always fair, because some of these threads, excuse me, can get into 50 and 60 pages virtually overnight.
Yeah.
Do you really have the wherewithal to read all 50 pages line by line, looking for every line and word in there? Don't know.
No, but, you know, if people would stop posting stupid questions, maybe they wouldn't be 50 or 60 pages long.
Perhaps. So I think Indabuff makes a good point about this whole entitlement thing. It's a very gray area, I think.
It is. I think there is, it's one of those seesaw things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could, you get, you know, you can't necessarily see where the line is exactly, but it's somewhere.
I do believe a lot of it is in the message, in the way you deliver that message.
So there was one more thing at the end that she slid in there. I liked to, after the whole email about entitlement, then she puts in a little request for this beautiful arbor, the floral arbor that we see in Lesser Fate Arc, where the Fae Court is, and asking Domino to give us one.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
But I did a little bit of looking, and if I could just quick plug another website, everseek.com, really great resource for house items, decorating items. I don't know if you have used it at all, but I thought of that. I went to go look at it, the floral arbor you're referring to. And there is a reward from the Red Shiny Collection in Greater Fate Arc. You know, that's the one you need the trade skill earring, the Earring of the Solstice for, to see those red shinies. You get one, I'm not sure what it's called. I didn't write it down. It's a sort of a flower pot with this vine coming out that sort of curves around, and it's got flowers on it. They're not the exact same flowers as the one in that arbor. They're similar. And actually, you'd need 7 trade skillers to complete it, because there are 7 stalks in that arbor. So if you have 7 trade skillers that have the Earring of the Solstice, you can make your own. The other option is to make one from some of the various parts that are maybe a little easier to get from the Enchanted Grotto in Greater Fate Arc. If you have enough of the tokens, you can purchase them off the vendor. There are several different types of vines. They're called Wild Vine, Wild Hanging Vine, Wild Honeysuckle. There's a Starflower Blossom. It's the same type of flower as on that arbor. So maybe you can make your own. Just a little info there.
Alrighty, for all the house decorators out there. So we did have another email from Bumrush on the Unrest server. And Bumrush writes, "First off, really like the show! !" It's really cool to hear your different perspectives on the topics at hand during any given show. I had a few comments about 2 topics that have been touched on repeatedly. First, the wall. My definition of the wall is this. The point at which my alt is so boring to play that I log on my main to smash out a few zones or 2. LOL. 1A. Apparently he's gone all index on us. 1A. But seriously, in my opinion, the only real way to test the noob experience is to switch to a server where you have no plat or slash characters or any friends that can help you. Just a comment there, though. I think we have done that. We have not given plat to our alts or helped them along by handing them anything through the shared banks, have we?
Nor are we speaking to anyone other than each other.
That's correct. So we truly have no friends. Well,
except for Dell is semi-cheating because he has a level 90 character on that account.
Okay, number 2. The server mergers. Bum, bum, bum. I think for a good bit of time in the beginning, there will be a U.S. versus them mentality between the original unrest population and the transferring Nagina population.
I think he means us versus them.
Oh, okay. Us versus them. Well, that makes a heck of a lot more sense. I didn't understand why he was just singling out Americans. Okay, that makes a heck of a lot more sense. P.S. Great show and keep up the good work. Single exclamation point. Signed, Bum Rush of the Unrest server. And I guess I should, in full disclosure, say that Bum Rush is a guildmate of mine. He does agree with me, I think, a little bit in the us versus them mentality. And I think we've talked a little bit about that, where it's going to be that feeling out period.
Yeah.
We're both new for all the servers that are being merged. It's two groups of new people coming together in kind of like a dinner party. And before you know it, folks will filter and meet up with each other, and it'll all be one melting pot.
Well, and I don't think we'll necessarily know the difference between us versus them unless they're wearing their title over their heads.
That is right, the title that they have, absolutely.
I did actually have another little something from Bum Rush.
What did Bum Rash send you?
Bum Rush contacted me on Facebook.
Ooh.
I think I was Farmvilleing at the time. With a suggestion for Delmon.
Okay.
Quote, if he's getting bored with raiding, maybe he should main switch for a while to switch up his perspective of raiding. That always helped me. I would like to hear his answer to you on the subject.
Yes, I did. You know, ironically, I offered the other night to play another tune on the raid, and I was told by my officers of my guild, no. Well, that answered that.
Well, it's because you're a healer.
It is. I'm a healer. I'm the only Templar we have right now. Although we're doing a lot of content where I think, you know, that me, if I was playing my other character, which would be the Troubadour, which I've talked about, and our guild has more than enough Troubadours at the moment anyways, with great attendance as well.
And probably not wearing level 67 breastplates.
That's true. That's true. I would fear bringing the Troubadour. I think you'd probably get one-shotted just by zoning in.
Yeah. But if you geared him up,
yeah,
do you think you would have a chance of bringing him on a raid?
Oh, I'm sure I would. I'm absolutely sure I would. I think what we've done too, in the other main tank healers that I've been with in group times, when we're dealing with trash or something like that, or even some of the easier mobs, say at the very beginning of labs, one of us had said, "Hey, I'm going all DPS mode. Why don't you just heal this encounter yourself?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so there's a little bit more excitement when you know you're the only healer.
Yeah. Healing
it, you have to pay a little bit more attention. Or, you know, it's my turn to be the all DPS guy, so I'll switch to all nukes and swinging with my hammer and whatnot. So it's you're still playing the same character, you're just playing it a little differently.
And I know it's a frustration for healers. I think that because they're necessary. I mean, it's not as if, you know, if you play a wizard, switching to a swashbuckler isn't going to be a problem for the raid leader unless that swashbuckler is severely undergeared. But if you're the main tank Templar, we have actually our main tank Templar has a warlock that he really likes to play. But, you know, and he's been really hanging in there and, you know, coming with the healer when needed, which is almost all the time. And every now and then he can bring the warlock. It's I think, a frustration for healers. I've heard from a lot of healers that it gets boring after a while. So that might be part of your frustration.
Yeah, and I certainly don't want to make it sound like that I am the end-all, be-all of healing on my raid force, please. I'm certainly not that. Delmon is fully decked out. He has all the stuff he wants, or needs, really. Not wants, but needs, from a lot of the encounters we're doing. If we were back to doing some of the harder mode encounters, going after more rune Rowanthirs and stuff like that, or Underfoot Depths, or some of the contested, then I think it would be a lot more exciting. It's just some of the mobs that we've done, these are the same mobs we did, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the expansion, where we still have to go through them every time, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. And you know, yours the same way, Ellie. You probably know the first encounters in all those zones by heart by now.
Yeah, and they're just, you know,
they're autopilot.
Pink at this point.
Yeah. So that's why I've been saying it becomes repetitive and boring. But we have been switching it up a little bit with the I'll go DPS and you be the healer or vice versa like that to try to spur some differentness or a little bit more exciting edge to the fights that we do know so well.
Should do a costume raid. I'm a big fan of costume raids.
That sounds a lot like appearance gear.
Well, you just go in another form.
Ugh, you know me and appearance gear.
But it's not appearance gear.
Yeah.
Hey, for Thanksgiving, you should raid as a turkey. I do it all the time. It's really fun.
I am already the turkey of my raid force.
They gobble. Come on.
All right.
So we had another email from Sprouts on the Freeport server.
I'm already giggling.
Are you still laughing about Mega Anus?
Please don't say that word. We got so much feedback via tells and instant message and all that about the what are you giggling at stuff. We received a lot of feedback on Dell's schoolyard humor.
I believe it was Sprouts' schoolyard humor. Dell just fell in the hole.
Couldn't help himself.
And yes, I said hole.
Tee-hee-hee.
All right. Hello once again from Sprouts of the Freeport server. First off, Allie, the Scavenator costume is excellent on many levels. Second, yes, my slider is locked. So that is the difference between my level and yours. Sorry for accusing you of power gaming. I guess I figured most ran at 50-50 even on live and just used the slider for special situations. A little aside on that. We didn't have a slider.
Up until recently.
Until I don't know when, but we didn't start with a slider. It was always 100%. Because we were there before achievements. Or, whatever they're called now.
Uphill both ways.
Anyway, back to the letter. I did participate in a little bit of the Knights of the Dead events. I did the Hedge Quest and the Haunted Mansion. Both were enjoyable, although I did find the Hedge a little on the easy side. But the Mansion was very good. Which Knights of the Dead quest did you two enjoy the most? So if you want to answer that before we move on.
Certainly. I will say I enjoyed most the Hedge Maze. And I absolutely hated trick-or-treating. Because okay. The game hates me. It never gave me the candy that I wanted. It would give me stacks upon stacks upon stacks of what I didn't need. I think it took me 12 runs to get the two new masks this year.
That's a lot. I only had to do 3 runs.
Yeah. Well, I suck.
Well, here's a little tip for that, Del. If you find yourself getting into a rut where you're not getting what you want, I have a theory about randomness in EQ2.
Okay.
If you just put it aside for a couple hours and come back later, your dice will roll differently.
That is excellent advice, except for when you wait till the last night to do it.
Oh, well, I can't help you there.
I know.
So why you said the Hedge was your favorite?
I like the story that goes along with the Hedge. Is it a spoiler to say that you become the werewolf at the end?
It's 2 years old at this point. I think it's not a spoiler anymore.
Yeah, I know. And
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. The mobs you kill along the way, they start becoming tasty treats. And then you get to the end and there's a little cut movie. I like it because there's a story to the zone. And I've always said I enjoy things where I am affecting the zone. And in that case, the zone is affecting me a little bit and making me more powerful. I'll absolutely admit the very first 2 or 3 times I went through there, I had not a clue that that was happening. Again, I didn't know I was turning into a werewolf because I was playing in first person.
Oh.
I didn't know it. Yeah, absolutely didn't know it. And I didn't know that the guy was heroic, epic at the end, and that I was epic too and killed him. I did not know this. I just thought I was awesome.
Until you found out otherwise.
Yeah, so to me, some of it was the surprise in it, finding that sort of stuff out that I didn't realize it. And I'm not kidding when I say I went through it many times before I realized that. And again, because the story, the zone had a story, and I mm-hmm. enjoy that sort of thing. So I think that's why I like the Hedge Maze the best.
I enjoyed the Hedge, too. I like the little coin that you drop.
Oh, the frictionless coin, yes.
Yeah, that's fun all the time. Always a good joke there. The other thing I really enjoyed is the mirror at the end of the mansion.
Where you come out of the mirror?
Yes, I really like that. I thought that was way cool when the first time I saw it, although someone spoiled it for me and told me what was going to happen. But it was still really cool because you're all in silhouette and it's just, you know, you look like the ultimate badass coming after yourself because you're walking. You're not even running.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's the attention to detail like that. Just to say one more thing about the frictionless coin we're talking about. I don't know if you actually noticed it, but like when you drop the frictionless coin, it like lands on its side and it literally spins for a second and then slides through the hole.
Oh, no, I never did catch that. I'll have to check
it out
next year.
There's a lot of little detail in just that little animation.
Huh.
And I think, you know, again, that's one of the really nice things about EQ2 and the EQ2 team is they put a lot of attention in very small details like that.
Well, and the thing about the mirror, someone, I saw a quote, I don't know where it's from. We've seen the enemy and the enemy is us. That sort of reminded me of that.
I've heard that. I have no idea where it's from.
I don't either. Well, if anyone knows, they can email me at Allie@EQ2Talk.com. So anyway, back to Sprouts' letter. A couple of game questions. Items that come up as uncommon, but really don't seem to have any function, what are they for? My second problem slash question is, if a mob is gray, will it not drop armor or weapons? I ask this because I need one more level 8 piece to transmute so I can continue on with my transmuting. I guess I could probably find something on the broker, but I don't like to buy things unless I have to. But after killing off a ridiculous amount of level 8 orcs, I didn't get any drops other than lore items. I think something is amiss in my tactics. Sorry, Dell, no toilet humor this week, but I am glad you two enjoyed the story as much as I did. Good hunting, Sprouts, and the rest of my alts.
I think to answer Sprouts' questions, I think he's talking about farming items for transmuting.
Yes.
The simple catchphrase for hunting for transmuting items is the mobs need to be green.
Right.
Because only green mobs are better or are going to drop treasured chests, and it is from treasured chests that you get treasured items.
Right.
And I think what he's asking is a good question because it can be very confusing to a new player. The tags, all the different tags that items come with in EverQuest 2.
Yeah, the uncommon he mentions that doesn't seem to have a function. There are a lot of tags. So we sort of went over them together and we thought we'd use this as an opportunity to talk about them.
Some of this goes back to olden times in EQ2 when these really were designed to be some type of indicator as to the strength of items. Some of that's faded away a little bit. So uncommon is still around, although it pretty much is a meaningless tag at this point, other than it's kind of the bottom of the barrel, would you say?
Yeah, pretty much.
So if we would go from the bottom up, the tags in kind of an order that we put them in are uncommon, handcrafted.
Well, there's something that has no tag whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah, no tag.
Those are even lower than uncommon.
So then there's uncommon. Then handcrafted, which would be trade skill made items that are using common components. The non-rare components, I guess you could say. There's treasured, which would come off mobs and treasured chest. Mastercrafted, which would be trade skill items that are made with the rare trade skill components. Legendary, which come out of ornate chests. Fabled, and finally mythical, being the highest rating of an item that you could have. So when it comes to transmuting, it has to be treasured or above. So anything that doesn't have a tag or is uncommon or is handcrafted cannot be transmuted. And that's, I think, Sprouts' challenge there is he's farming gray mobs, not going to get treasured chests, and therefore not going to get anything that he can transmute.
Right. Well, not all treasured. Did you say treasured? Not all treasured things can be transmuted.
That is true. There is two additional catches to that. In order to be transmutable, it does need to be treasured. It needs to have a level associated with it, and it needs to be not ornate. So if that's not confusing enough.
Well, and also, your adept spells cannot be transmuted.
Adept spells? They cannot be?
No.
Oh, I thought they could.
Oh, I lied. I lied. I'm sorry. I'm confusing. Okay. Oh my God. I'm confusing myself. They cannot.
Apprentice.
They give you. I'm sorry, apprentice. You're correct. That's handcrafted. I'm confusing myself. It's they don't give any. They don't give any favor with your deity.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
you can't turn them in
Wrong information.
for a deity
I'm confusing.
faction yet.
Yes, sorry.
All right.
Many, many apologies. I just, you know what it is? It's I feel like we didn't have enough errata, so I was trying to, contribute for next time.
Excellent. As if we don't make enough mistakes already.
Some of the other tags might be lore, which is you can only possess one of the item in your bank, your bag, whatever, your broker. Lore equip, which means you can only be wearing one at any given moment. Ornate, which means you cannot transmute it and you cannot adorn it. Attunable or attuned, which means that you can attune it. And once it's tuned, you cannot trade it. Then there's no trade, no value, no destroy, no zone tags as well, which are pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, it's certainly overwhelming, I think, for a new player with the amount of different things. You just kind of have to take one at a time and figure out which it is and go from there.
Yeah.
But I think, we could probably spend at some point a whole show dedicated to the adorning and transmuting secondary trade skill alone.
I forgot heirloom.
An heirloom, which means you can
Pass it to your.
alts, right? It's no trade except for to yourself.
On the same account.
So hopefully that answers some of Sprout's questions.
Didn't even want to mention artifact, did we?
Oh, we didn't. You didn't mention artifact.
No, I thought you were avoiding it.
Oh no, I wasn't avoiding it.
No, you didn't say it.
Okay, well it's easy to avoid it because there's only one of them.
Correct.
There's artifact, which are items that are one per server, which I think is kind of cool.
I agree. I love that.
I know some people like to wah 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 about it because they didn't get the artifact, but I think it's cool that there is only one. Hey, it's part of that. I realize that there's things that are out there that I'm not going to have or not possess, and that I'm okay with that. Somebody else did, and that's okay for them. Congrats to them for having it.
And they don't play the game anymore, probably.
Maybe not. All right, so was that all the emails we had this week?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. Thank you to everybody who wrote in this week. So we want to get to our main topic of this week. And as it is the Thanksgiving holiday this time of year in the States here, we thought we could talk about some of the things that we are thankful for in game.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time complaining, so we thought maybe we should take a look from the other side, the other angle.
So, Allie, what's one of the things that you have that you are thankful for?
Friends who still play. I am thankful for friends who still play the game even after 6 years, and new friends that I've made who haven't been playing the whole 6 years. I think sometimes I get in my own little world and I end up losing touch with people. And every now and then, I get tells, do you want to do this zone or that zone? And I'm in the middle of doing something else, and so I turn them down. But I have to keep reminding myself, don't take these people for granted. They're like a vast majority of the reason you play the game. So every now and then, I have to just stop my little questy thing or whatever it is I'm doing and go do some zones with people, just to keep in touch, just to keep the invite coming because they're asking if I keep turning them down. So friends, I'm thankful for.
Absolutely, that is a great one, and I think again an F word that fits very well with EverQuest 2. One of the things that I most enjoy with it is, as we've talked about, my frugal nature,
Yeah.
is that really EverQuest 2 is the best bang for your buck for entertainment, in my opinion. You have this rich and expansive world that's available to you 7 by 24, 365 days a year. Wah, 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 we have downtime during patching and whatnot. Okay. But in the grand scheme of things, that is a very minute window. So you think that we pay $15 a month to play the game. $15 doesn't even cover you a movie ticket, a drink, and a box of popcorn at the theater. And that's only 2, maybe 3 hours tops of entertainment. For me, EverQuest is always there. The world of Norrath is always there to me, no matter what time of day, how I'm feeling, what's going on in the real world. I can always escape to this world, and at a reasonable price. I don't have to pay exorbitant fees, and I can get as much out of it as I want. So I think it fits very well with my frugal habits. I don't know what I would be doing a lot of the times if I wasn't playing. Probably staring at the boob tube, maybe. And I think that's one of the reasons why I do enjoy EverQuest so much. I could watch TV, but when I'm in EverQuest, I'm affecting the world. I'm determining the outcome of that story. Not necessarily what some writer in LA thought the way the TV show should end. Here I'm determining how the show is going to end or how the night is going to end in terms of EverQuest 2, either on a positive note or sometimes on a not-so-positive note. So that's one of the things I'm most thankful for.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You get a month's worth of entertainment for $15.
You can't get that anywhere else.
No, you really. I'm trying to think of anywhere, and you really can't. And where else can you slay dragons for $15 a month? Come on now.
And I get, you know, it's part of that lore story, too, that we talk about, too. You know, thankful for some of that, that this isn't just a first-person shooter game. That there is a story behind it all. And I like that. You know, you can get a console game and you know, play that as much as you want to, but sometimes you're just running around, you know, shooting bad guys and diving behind a blown up brick wall or a pile of oil barrels or something like that. There's no story behind it. I like that the story that there is a story in EverQuest 2 and that it's evolving, and each day there's a little bit more to learn or something new to learn, or each expansion brings us whole new story and it unfolds. It's not something I can just pick up that we talked to you about the other shows. You just can't pick up a book and read it cover to cover and go, okay, I know the EverQuest 2 lore story. No, it unfolds as you're doing it and you learn a little bit more about it each time. And I like that.
Another thing I'm thankful for is the community. There is a ton of information out there that people who are just players have taken it upon themselves to put in hours. I don't even know how many hours worth of work it would have taken for some of these websites and things to get running up and running and stay up and running all this time for other players, for themselves, obviously, and other players. And some of these are interface mods that require updates and modifications. And these people have, you know, it's a labor of love. I think a lot of these things that we sort of rely on at this point, like, for example, I'm thinking of ACT is one. EQ2 Maps is another. I know I would be totally lost a lot of times if I didn't have those little waypoints, those little helpers in-game. The lore site, the wiki site, which there's someone behind that. There's someone who started that. You know, all the different game channels, in-game chat channels that have been started, people contributing on the forums. Basically, the community of EQ2, it's supportive and it's strong, I think, even after 6 years.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And it's that community also that enriches the world of Norrath that makes it seem even bigger than just when you're in front of the computer playing the game. I think of Jethel Silverwing's parody songs. I certainly enjoy parody music. I enjoy Weird Al Yankovic, so I like listening to his type of stuff too. So there's all that other stuff that's even outside the game that makes the whole thing seem even real and more. And I think that's great too.
Yeah, some of the fan art, if you go look on the forums, some of the fan art that people come up with is amazing. And these are, you know, these are just regular players who love the game and have, you know, decided to put in their own personal time to celebrate it or to do work on something that other people can use. I mean, there's so many things out there. There's just so many tools, innumerable tools that I've made use of over the years. I keep thinking of things like the Fluffy website and the Heritage Quest Tracker and all these other things. If it weren't for those people going the extra step to do something for other players, a lot of people would be lost. So I'm thankful for them.
To bring it down to a technical level, for one thing I'm very thankful for is Click to Cure.
I knew that was going to be on your list.
Absolutely. I love Click the Cure. I've never had it before. When I mentioned it in guild chat one night during a raid after we had that feature implemented, I was both praised for my new ability to cure so much faster and say, wow, how did you ever function without that? How did you do as well as you did without having that ability? And secondly, why the heck haven't you had that ability until now?
Right, because there is a mod out there that allows you to click to cure that people have been using for years, Del.
I know I didn't use it, but I seem to hold my own a little bit, I guess. That was one of those things we were talking about a few minutes ago where wasn't on the first pass of the UI update. I don't know if it was on the list for the second pass or because of the player community who had commented so much saying, hey, we would really like to see this feature included. So I don't know if it was on the list or we helped influence it getting on the list, but I think that's another thing to be thankful for is as much as sometimes we do complain, I do believe the development team, those names in red that we see on the forums, I think they do listen to us, and I think they generally want to make a great product. Now, we may not always agree with their decisions or how they've implemented something, but I do believe they listen. They give us feedback, or the opportunity to give feedback, and I do believe they do review it. And where things are apropos, they do implement them. So I think that's something that we sometimes as players take for granted, the access to our development team that we have, and sometimes we run over them with
Yeah.
less than positive or glowing comments. But I do think they have, as Indabuff said, they have our best intentions at heart, and I think our access to them coming on the forums and answering questions and talking about things and showing us what's next or listening to our feedback in the in-testing section of the forums, I think that's great. And I think that's something we take for granted, and we should be thankful that we do have it because I think the reverse would be a very unhappy environment for us as players.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Another thing that I'm thankful for, if you want to get particular, I'm thankful for jiggly parts.
Hey now.
Now, I know you're not a fan of Station Cache, Del, so this won't really be up your alley.
Wait, are the jiggly parts in Station Cache?
Well, they're jiggly parts on things that are available from Station Cache, and they just bring me joy. I'm thinking of the backpacks from Frostfell. There's good and evil versions. Boy, those jiggly parts make me so happy. They just make me smile inside. And there's I think another one. I don't know if it jiggles or not, but I did see a little post about, I think it's called the Adventurer's Backpack. That's a new item that it looks like it might be jiggly. I can't be certain. I have to look at it in game in the window there, but I love the jiggly parts. And I think there might be one from the reward from the Brewmeister's backpack. I don't know if that one jiggles or not for sure. I do have it. I haven't really looked. But I love the jiggly parts. Thank you.
I was mistaken. I thought you were talking about something else that bounces up and down. One other thing that I very much like and am thankful for that we get to see in game is these world events like the Heroes Festival, the monthly city festivals, the Moonlight Enchantments, the holidays that go on. I think they give the world of EverQuest a real world feel. These things are things that we see in the real world. We see carnivals, we see fall festivals. And I think when we see them in game, it brings, oh, the world of Norrath is just like the real world. And that they come back every month and that there's a little bit of different theme for each one of them. I think it enriches the world and gives it more than just the kill mobs and take their stuff mode and takes us out of that a little bit and brings us into another layer of the world of Norrath. And I think, again, we overlook that at times, but I think Norrath would be a much more boring place if we didn't have these types of fairs and events and stuff in game that broaden the player experience and make it more than just dragon killing. As cool as that is at times, sometimes you need a little downtime from your dragons.
And it gives people another something to do.
Yes, because again, EQ2, it's more about more than just one play style.
So that's a good one, world events. I have something along the same lines on my list that I actually thought of on the way home from the dentist's office. Guides. For guides, these are volunteers. These people don't get paid. and they have events and they role play and they stand around waiting when you ask them to for a friend to come and join the fun. They put in a lot of hours of work, and I don't really know involved in what I have to do, but Del, you said you went to something at Fanfare about the guide program and learned a lot, and I thought that was really interesting. And I think it's pretty impressive when somebody volunteers to basically do work. You know, it must feel like a labor of love. So guides, I'm thankful for guides. Especially our guide on unrest.
Yes. Give us green shinies.
More green shinies.
You know who you are. Give us green shinies. The last thing that I had on my list of things that I'm thankful for, I'm thankful for it, but I think it's maybe a little too overdone. So I wouldn't mind if it was cut back a little bit, but I think it's a step in the right direction, is red text during raiding. Now, this is specific to raiding, and I think maybe, though, it could be used in some of the heroic encounters where the mobs give you a hint as to what's going on around them, and you don't necessarily have to look at an animation or something like that. I think to take the game and make it less ACT-dependent so that it's more like the real world, and I'm not watching a radial dial in a pop-up box for my joust timers and things that the mob are going to do. So I, as much as I like red text, I do think it's been a little bit overdone, and sometimes it's taken too much out of it. But I do like that it's given more players a better opportunity, and we are not completely dependent upon ACT to know when to put up reactives or when to joust or when to get in and when to get out. So I think it's a good thing. I think maybe in some cases a little too much, but I think it's something that has helped improve the game, and I'm thankful for red text.
I agree. I like that one. Good choice. We need more red text.
No, maybe I don't not. Think too much. Too much.
More. It doesn't have to be red on your screen, like the little verbal cues you get from mobs. You do get verbal cues. You just have to look at them.
Right. I don't think it needs to say incoming fiery breath out.
Well,
out,
no,
out.
No.
Fiery breath gone off in. I don't think it needs to be that stuff. But to say something like the dragon is inhaling.
And there actually is some text in the game that's not read that are clues.
When it's in the text box, though, it's sometimes hard to read. So I like that red text, and the kind of the slang of that is because it's big and it's on my screen and it's in the middle and I can see it. When it's in the text box and there's other things flying by in the text box, sometimes it's easy to miss that sort of stuff because it's so small.
That's true.
And one last thing I think we're both thankful for is folks who listen to our podcast.
But that's not an EQ2.
No, but it's EQ2 related, and it is Thanksgiving. So I think we're thankful to them and the folks who write to us and have joined us on Facebook and email us and tell us what they're thinking. I think we're thankful for that. We both get excited when we get emails from folks.
Yes, we are very thankful for the listeners.
Because if not for them, there would only be two dogs and a whole bunch of goldfish listening.
Well, would they even be listening? I think we'd just be recording a show every couple of weeks, talking to each other.
As fun as that is.
Yeah, that gets boring after a while.
All right, so this is an Are You Smarter Than a Delmon episode, isn't it?
It is. We have two categories for you, Del.
Okay.
And as usual, you're going to have to pick normal mode or challenge mode after you pick your category. So, you ready for your categories?
I'm ready for the categories.
Your first category is Angry Pilgrim. Your second category, Medicine for the Soul.
Well, it is Thanksgiving, so I am going to go with the Angry Pilgrim.
I knew you were going to pick that.
I know. Keeping with the theme.
So, what do you want, normal or challenge mode?
I am going to go easy mode this week. I'm coming off a positive time last time with Are You Smarter, and I want to keep that momentum going. So I think we're going to go easy mode this week because I'm not really sure about this pilgrim category, but so.
Okay. Feeling a little lazy starting on the turkey, though?
Yes.
All right. So for Angry Pilgrim, your question is, it's Thanksgiving, Del. There is no live event in EQ2 equivalent to the Thanksgiving holiday. Name the 7 annual live events in EQ2.
Wow. Okay. All right. So there's Frostfell.
All righty.
Okay. There's Eurolisi Day. I don't have to put these in order, do I?
That was challenge mode.
Oh, okay, good. Frostfell, Irelisi, Brew Day.
Yes.
Tinkerfest Day.
Well, it's not a day, but that's okay. Fine. Tinkerfest.
Tinkerfest, so that's four. Oh, boy. I've already run out of momentum. Does Heroes Festival count?
It does. It's annual now that it's happened twice. We can actually call it annual.
Okay. Night of the Dead.
It's Knights of Dead, but that's fine.
Okay. So to say Knights of the Dead Day would be redundant.
Not a day.
That's
it's
six.
It's just Knights of the Dead. Correct. So far, got one left.
Does Fanfare count?
That's not an in-game annual live event.
Bristlebane Day.
Wow, very nice. I was going to get mad at you because that's my favorite one.
You know what I was doing real quickly? I was running through the months of the year in my head. And I got March, April Fool's, Bristlebane. Can I try real fast to put them in order?
You can. I was actually, challenge mode was name them in order and give their approximate dates.
Okay. The first one would be Irelisi Day, and that's around St. Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Brew Day is second, and that's around St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Third is Bristlebane Day, and that's April Fool's.
Correct.
Fourth is going to be Tinkerfest, and that's late June, early July, summertime. Five is going to be Knights of the Dead, which is Halloween. Six is Heroes, which is currently going on, and that's the anniversary of EverQuest, so that's like the November time frame. And the seventh is going to be Frostfell, which is the Christmas holiday.
Yes, very good. You would have gone challenge mode, but you went with the easy mode. Grab your loot.
I did. I'll take my
tier one
loot and go home with that. I'm pleased.
Okay.
I'm happy with that.
What's your favorite holiday?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like them all. Brew Day.
Oh.
Yeah, Brew Day. I'm the dwarf. I like drinking in real life. Who doesn't? So yeah, Brew Day.
Some people call it Brel Day.
I think it's Brew Day, isn't it?
It is, but some people call it Brel Day, and okay. I believe both are acceptable.
Because you do get to meet the avatar of Brel, I think, during Brew Day as well.
Yeah.
And he's really cool.
Yeah, and you get to go to a bar.
Yeah, I took a whole bunch of pictures one day with the avatar. I chased him around and tried to get him to hold still so I could take a picture with him and me, him and Delmon together in a picture.
That's pretty funny. Did you put it on your wall?
I did not. It didn't really come out that good because I could never get him to stand still and make me not. How do you not make your own character look at something else? I mean, my head kept turning and staring at him like I was some like schoolgirl with a crush.
You have to not be clicked on him, for one thing, and then you have to be far enough. You have to just adjust your position slightly.
It was a real pain trying to get that picture taken.
Hmm.
And then the sun went down, and then he ran in front of a bunch of gnolls, and he was not cooperating.
Ah, those gnolls, those gnolls are always running in the camera shot, ruining things.
The Avatar of Brel is like taking a 3-year-old to Sears for a family photo day. It just didn't go well. Okay, so do we have anything else for this episode 11 of EQ2 Talk?
I don't have anything else.
Okay, so we should say thank you to everyone who listened to this podcast. We are thankful for it. We should also send out a thank you again to our corporate sponsor this week, Ocean Spray.
And thanks to all of our listeners who wrote in, talked to us on Facebook, sent us tells in game. We appreciate all the feedback.
We also want to apologize to the Butterball Corporation, who was originally going to be our sponsor, but Dell couldn't get through the copy that included the word Butterball without a fit of giggling. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, want to talk about any of the things that we've been talking about here, you can reach us in a couple of ways. So first, there's email. So you can send an email to me. I'm delmon@eq2talk.com.
And I'm Allie at eq2talk.com. And you can also write to me if you think you are smarter than a Delmon.
If you want to catch us in-game, so for me, that's eq2.unrest.delmon, D-E-L-L-M-O-N.
And you can reach me in-game at eq2.unrest.alicious, A-L-I-S-C-I-O-U-S.
And if you're on the Facebook, you can be Delmon's friend, so you can search for me as Delmon Dragonhammer.
And you can find Allie at Alicious Foo of the Woo, which has an apostrophe after the F, or sorry, after the U, but it's probably easier just to look for me as a on the EQ2 Talk page. And if you like the podcast, be sure to press the little like button so we know you like us on Facebook.
And please, please, make Delmon your friend. I need to have more friends than Allie.
Why do you need to have more friends than Allie?
Because it makes me feel more important. And that's not happening right now.
I have 38 friends, two of whom are dogs, and I have a stuffed bear.
The teddy bear community has rallied behind Allie.
But I noticed you have actually fewer friends, but a lot of them are red names, so...
I have high quality day friends.
Color me jealous. Color me jealous. I don't want to hear about it.
And everyone have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and have an extra helping of pie.
Pie.
See you all next time, and say goodnight, Allie.
Gobble gobble.
So then should we say thank you to everybody who tuned in?
No, we shouldn't say thank you to anybody who tuned in, because nobody tuned in.
I know.
My dog.
I'm sorry. You know what it is? I'm going through... Where the hell is my goddamn notes?
You are... you know what you just did just there, Del?
What's that?
That's like the equivalent of like when you're in bed with your wife, you say another name.
All right, I found my notes.
That was a good analogy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Next time I'm in bed with you, I won't say